Amen. We're in Ephesians chapter 3, continuing with the instructions laid out for us in the Word and the position that we are in because of what Jesus did. How many know when Jesus came into our hearts, He provided everything that we need for victory? How many know? Come on, somebody. And when He came into our hearts, He provided everything that we need for victory. Whether we access those things, that's the caveat. That's where you and I really are in our walk with Christ. It's what we choose to believe, what we choose to grasp. That which we grasp and institute in our life gives us one thing, and that's victory. God's intent is not that we fall and get up. Although, when we fall and get up, He makes provision for us. Come on, somebody. But His point is to give us victory so that we walk as victors. Read it, saying this morning about the victor's crown. How many know we share that crown with Jesus Christ? Yes. Paul, in continuing in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, he says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How many know it's God's intent that this prayer be answered for each of us? For each of us. Paul's prayer carries with it the fact that each believer has the potential to be filled with all the fullness of God. No missing parts, nothing missing. Go on. That His intent is for us to be filled with His fullness. Now, when you think about that, that ought to stop you in your tracks. Because of who we are, we sometimes like taking God in portions. Come on, somebody. God, I'm busy. I only want just a portion of you. Just bless my drive to work. I don't want you to give me anything convicting. I don't want you to give me anything I have to do besides drive to work. Come on, somebody. But in God, He wants to fill us with all His fullness all the time so that we're in complete connection all the while with Him no matter what we're doing. Come on. And this is Paul's prayer. First off, he starts with that He would grant you. I looked up grant, it's to bestow a gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. That's Jesus. We often speak of the gifts that we use for others. The 9 gifts of the Spirit are for others. Gifts of healing, words of prophecy, words of knowledge. Come on, someone. We're ministering to others. But this gift of Jesus Christ, this gift of wisdom, this gift of knowledge for us, it's okay to be selfish in this point. This is a gift from the Father to us. He would grant you, this is not a plural you, this is a singular you, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might. See? According, he says, to His riches. We just read in verse 8 a few weeks ago about the unsearchable riches. Everything in creation has a limit and an end except God. Everything that we see will burn up in that day. Come on, somebody. A new heaven and a new earth, but God is eternal. He's sharing this eternal gift with us. The eternal God lives in you and I. He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. There is no restriction to what God is able to give you and will give you if you ask. God's never too busy. It's never too small. It's never too large for Him. He intends to give you everything that you need for success in your life. According to His riches, God supplies from His being. It's not resources available to Him. He doesn't go to some storehouse and say, I wonder if I have enough. He's giving of Himself. It's not supplied from His reserve. He is giving of himself according to the riches of his glory. God gives of himself to assure us that our reliance is on him, not something that he can give. It's on him because his relationship with us emboldens us. His relationship with us supplies us. His relationship with us makes us 10 foot tall and bulletproof. It's all about God. It's not what he can give. Somebody said, we take a long time searching for the hands and not the face. He will always provide if we seek him. Where have you heard that before? Jesus said, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. Glory to God. What a promise. What a promise, Jesus. You mean that if I put you first, you mean that if I listen to you first, you mean that if I walk in what you taught me to walk in, you'll supply all the other things. And it's a very simple answer that heaven gives. It's not a long thing. It requires no conference. It requires no long understanding. It's just yes. Seek me and I'll take care of everything else. And we look past it because we couldn't possibly believe that it's true. But by faith, we know it's true. These are some words put together, man. I mean, of all the words he could have to explain, look what he says. He says, "To according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might." Strengthened, it means to make strong or to increase in strength. Every day that we walk with Christ, our strength increases because of him. We're weak in our flesh, but we're strong in the spirit. That strength is to allow us to rule and to reign over the enemy. Come on, someone. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. We give him far too much credit for causing angst in our life. If he does, he does it because we allow him to do it. Come on, somebody. We have a neighborhood dog that decides to communicate late at night. He just decides he's going to communicate late at night. I don't know what dog language means, but it's irritating. See? And I can either let that bother me, or I can do what we do is turn on the fan so we can't hear him. That's what it is with the devil. The devil is going to bark. The devil is going to nip at our heels. The devil is going to try to cause problems in our life. But what do? We turn on the relationship, the fan of God, and drown out that nonsense. Because that's all it is nonsense. I said earlier about the spirit of fear on this land. It is absolutely encroaching upon our freedoms. And we can't let it. See, we're strengthened. This is well put together. The Holy Ghost strengthened with might. Might is dunamis, inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Now, if we did not have the nature of God, it would be another thing. But my nature is divine, the Word of God says. 2 Peter 1:4, which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Watch what it says. It says that through these exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Not watchers, not armchair Christians, but we are partaking of the nature of the divine God. Come on, somebody. Man. 1 John 4:1, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Come on, somebody. There's no other way to say that. If he's a victor in the world, if he's an overcomer in the world, so are we. See? And it's the end of making excuses. See, we have no excuse. God has moved all the excuses out of the way so that you and I are victory, are victors and have victory in Him. Man, I love this verse. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit. Where? In the inner man. The source is the strength and power of His Spirit in the inner man. The spiritual you. Right inside of me, I have the source of the power of the universe residing in me. So that when the devil comes against me, he reaches a formidable foe. See? Because he's coming against Jesus Christ Himself. I mean, look what it says. Look what it says. Let's put a microscope on this verse, my friends. That He would grant you, it's a prayer, that He would grant you, that He would bestow this gift upon you, the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, according to the riches of His glory, all that He is, all that He's about from before till after time, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in your spirit. The center of communication, what you communicate to God with, He is filling you on a daily basis. He never fails to fill you. It's if you'll receive that feeling. It's the apex of relationship. It's where at the intersection of our prayers, whether we're doing a John MacArthur devotion or reading Psalm 3. When we communicate with God, while we're communicating with Him, He's filling us because that's what He does. He's not a silent participant. When we engage ourselves to talk with God, He's about pouring into us. He's about exposing things that we need to get rid of. He's about making us something that He can pour Himself into. The process of sanctification. He is always working on our behalf. Whenever we interact with Him, He's not just listening and saying, okay, go do it. He's giving us the power and the might to do it. Where? Within us. That Christ may dwell in your heart. You know, Christ became one with us at the cross. At the cross, when we said, Jesus, come into my life and change me, He became one with you. That'll never change. He can't be chased away. Come on, somebody. Oh, you don't know what I did. It doesn't matter what you did. Jesus is right there. This theology that says Jesus leaves and comes back and gets hurt and comes back. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. We are made inseparable from Him. We are inseparable from the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, someone. Anybody tells you any different is lying to you. Don't listen to that anti-God message. God is always with you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. How many know that does not have an expiration date on it? I want to speak to you this morning that may feel you went too far and God is displeased and not ministering to you. That's a lie from the devil. I want you to know that God loves you. He says if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just. He's not scared of sin. He's not alarmed on sin. All you got to do is confess it. Come on, somebody. My mother loved me very much, but she was the meanest, cruelest person when it came to pulling out splinters. She had no pity whatsoever. She had these tweezers. I think they were made of iron. I don't know. But she would take that thing and pull. I can remember her pulling, because I always used to have splinters in my fingers. She would take that thing and rip it out. Stop your crying. Throw some iodine on it and off I'd go. God is not scared of sin. He knew when he got involved in your life that you were going to screw up. That's part of the deal. And you, Colossians 1:21, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled, past tense, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Woo-hoo! Man, somebody ought to be doing some shouting this morning. Look at this. You who were once alienated and enemies in your mind, he's now going to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Why? Because he dwells within you. Dwell is kaiokio, to house permanently or to inhabit. He is housing permanently in you. He moved in, he made his home, and you can't evict him. No matter what you do, he's staying. He's stuck to you. This knowledge will bring stability. You're no longer tossed to and fro. You're standing on God's word. Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. My friend, there are a bunch of people out there that are preaching something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ to instill fear in you, to make you give your money or your time. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. Stay with the pure word of God. I'm not saying that we don't deny problems. We have problems, God deals with them. We have sin, God deals with them. But my Bible says he's permanently living in me. And because of that, I'm strengthened with might. The enemy will regularly attack when you have difficulty receiving this truth. The enemy will come against you when you have doubt and unbelief. God did not come into your heart to leave at the first sign of difficulty, or the last struggle before you surrender, or after you've been taken captive. He stays with us through all the changes that may occur on our way to victory. Come on, somebody. Take strength. Be encouraged. He's dwelling in your heart. Heart does not mean the heart that you feel beating right now in your chest. Heart is the center or your soul. That Christ may dwell in your mind, your will, and your emotions. He dwells in your spirit, but by invitation, you invite him to dwell in these things. Your mind. We have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. His thoughts are ours. Some of the misquoted scripture, Isaiah 55:7. You'll see it on the screen, but if you'd like to look in your Bibles, turn there, Isaiah 55 and verse 7. He's speaking with the wicked when he says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, he did not switch gears to talk to believers after talking to the wicked. Listen very carefully, because there's a thought out there that says our thoughts are different from God's. If you're a child of God, his thoughts are your thoughts. He's speaking to the wicked, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's talking to the pre-saved people. Once we have the Spirit of God living in us, we have the mind of Christ. We know his thoughts, and his thoughts are our thoughts. Anybody there today? Come on. We've all heard the teaching that his thoughts are above our thoughts and his ways are above our ways. They're not our ways. But he's talking to wicked people. I'm not wicked. I'm his child. Come on, you're not hearing me this morning. See, we have the victory. We can't have the victory if we only have half the information. We can't have the victory if we don't know the mind of Christ. Can't have the victory if we don't know His thoughts. That all that leaves us is guessing. God, I think this is what You would want. I'm going to give it a stab and try. No, God says, you ask and it shall be given to you. What do you need? Do you need to know if you're supposed to do this or you're not supposed to do that? God is going to tell us very clearly. I learned a long time ago to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't all the time follow that thinking because I'm just like everybody else. I think sometimes I know better than Him. Don't leave me alone up here. You're all looking at me like I'm guilty. Come on. We've thought ourselves. God, I got this. I don't need to pray because I already got this. I've seen this before. And then you get halfway down the road and you go, uh-oh, on the wrong trip. I'm on the wrong road. My GPS stopped working. We know the things that God has freely given us. The mystery is revealed. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have the mind of Christ. We need to let Him into our will. Our will makes or breaks us. I've always said the most powerful force in the universe is not God. The most powerful force in the universe is our will. If we say no, it's no. And God will not usurp that no. He's waiting for us to say yes. I can hear Him say, you know, I'll wait till you get nice and miserable, then I'll go ahead and answer that. Submission to His will brings life. Jesus said, not my will, but yours. Then also our emotions. Our emotions must be Spirit-led. They cannot be trusted outside of God. If I'm being led by my emotions, I'm already in trouble. See? Strengthened with might in the inner man, in our soul man. Emotions profits us nothing. First comes faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Then come the facts. Then come emotions, the caboose. How I feel about it really doesn't make any difference. If God said it, I'm going to do it. If it breaks my heart, it breaks my heart. I'll get over it. Come on, somebody. Didn't Jesus say, deny yourself? If you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. Die to yourself daily. Yes. Wait a minute, God. Can we kind of make a deal? Can I, like, take up my cross and do what I want? After all, this is my life. Come on, somebody. It's not your life. It belongs to God. It's not your life. We think we know what God wants. Maybe you heard the story of the young man that went to a men's retreat for a weekend. Young married man was determined to make his house a house of faith. And so he went to this retreat and came home. It was pretty late at night. And so he was talking to his wife, woke her up, and gave her all that he had, dumped it on her in about half an hour, 45 minutes. I'm the Lord of the manor. You're going to listen to me. You're going to be a Proverbs 31 wife, and this is the way things are going to be. And he read her the riot act, and then he didn't see her for 2 weeks. And he saw her just a little bit out of this one eye. We think we know. We got to listen for the Lord. Amen. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The journey and the destination is faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. When we believe, He responds by doing what we have asked of Him. Come on, somebody. He says, you have not, because you don't ask. And the all-knowing God, am I the only one that's ever prayed and said, God, I thought you already knew about this. Why do I have to ask? Let's be real. Come on. Get on our knees. We get all ready to pray and we say, God, why am I telling you? I already know. Do you ever think about that? I have lots of times. But God wants us to ask so that we're involved in seeing the problem taken away. When we believe, He responds. It goes on to say that we're rooted and grounded in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Read it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Bears all things. Believes all things. Endures all things. God is love. His nature, His actions, His intent is love. There's nothing that motivates out of God that's out of hate or out of vindictiveness. If your relationship with God is one of fear that He's going to take away or punish you or do those kind of things, understand that all that God does is motivated by love. Deep within love is the power and the strength to live in it. Love is an anchor for us. And we're supposed to take that kind of love and love one another. Turn to somebody and said, he must be talking to you. We're to love one another. But it's because his nature is love, he lives in us. Come on. It's the plumb line for our life in him. It's what we gauge all things by is his love for us. Strengthened with might in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you may know the height, the depth, the length, the width, the dimensions of his love. Be able to comprehend with all the saints in verse 17. You know, that's within our grasp. To know his love completely. To not acknowledge that is to deny him. You've been walking with the Lord a long time. You're still trying to guess what the love of God is. With all the saints. I love what the Holy Spirit says through Paul. That you may be able to comprehend with some people. That you may be able to comprehend with the educated ones. That you may be able to comprehend with the elite ones. What's it say? With all the saints. So you're either a saint or an ain't. So if all the saints can comprehend his love, I'm a saint. I should be able to comprehend what he's all about. It's within our grasp. To know his love which passes knowledge. To know is genesco, or to perceive. It's a Jewish idiom used for sexual intercourse between a husband and wife. To know. Genesco. To know God intimately enough that you know his love. How many know when you love somebody, you completely trust them? I'm amazed that God invites me in with him. I'm amazed. Every day, God, you mean you really want to spend time with me? You're still living in me? I thought I'd bore you by now. No, he loves us. Wow. The God of the universe that could create 2 billion of me if he wanted. Only created one of me. Did you ever think of that? Go look in the mirror today and say, God, you created me. There's no one like me. And you love me. Come on, someone. God, when he was speaking to Moses, he said, Moses, get out of the way. I'll wipe out the whole nation. I'll make another nation. I'll take 2.5 million people, just wipe them out, and we'll start all over again. Said that to Abraham as well. He said, I'll take the whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll take the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll destroy them. He said, if I can find five righteous. Started with 50, went down to 5. His love has no boundaries or no restrictions. We are as close to God as we choose to be. If we want him at arm's length, he'll be at arm's length. Come on, someone. But man, just welcome him in. Paul's prayer here is just enormously, enormously revelational. We begin to tear this apart. We'd be able to know. And the church is so hungry for that. We've relegated it to just a few intelligent people. We've relegated it to just a few people who have a doctor in front of their name or a pastor in front of their name, an evangelist in front of their name. No, Paul is praying that every one of us be filled with his fullness. Not just a few elite, not just a few that can teach us. This is for every believer. And it's been robbed from our generation, I tell you. He's as close as you choose him to be. He loves us, period. It's not a because, it's not if, it's not when, it's not how. He loves you because he is love. There's nothing motivating him to be near you other than love. There's nothing that he's pouring into you that he doesn't want love back. And that love passes knowing. I don't know why. I can't explain his love for us. You can't explain his love for us. It's past knowledge. We can't teach classes on the love of God. We can just say what the Word of God says and receive it by faith. He loves me. There's not one marriage in this room that would have lasted had you known on your wedding day what you were going to go through with your spouse, turn to them and say, amen. If my wife would have known what she had to put up with for 43 years, she'd have said, nah, I think I'll pass. Come on, somebody. God got involved with us at the cross. He said, I'm going to kill you and make you a new creation. I'm going to come live in you. And you say, oh, God, the future is as bright as your promises. He goes, yeah. I'm with you. He loves us completely and totally loves us and stays with us and pours himself into us time and time and time and time again because he knows the end result. His glory in us. And Paul is praying this so the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry becomes complete because it's God working with us, the hope of glory. Filled with his fullness. I don't know about you, but I cannot even fathom the fullness of God. He's God. Where is it full? Where is the fullness of God? It can't be determined. But yet Paul says it can be. Comprehend with all the saints what is the love. The height, the depth, the width, the length. To be filled with all the fullness of God. To be completely immersed in him. Think of it. That's where we are today. It's not something that's oncoming. It's not something that's announced. You're about to be filled with the fullness of God. No, you are already filled with the fullness of God. It's just your comprehension of that. I said a few weeks ago when we started this thing, a couple months ago now, can you imagine buying a beautiful house, winning the Indiana State Lottery, buying a mansion on the lake, you know, beautiful place, and call Pastor Rick for dinner. And one. Come on up, I got a mansion. Won the Indiana State Lottery, come up for dinner. I come up for dinner and you and your wife are sitting at the front door and all your furniture is surrounding the front door. Come on in the house. Look at this door. Look at this foyer. Is this beautiful or what? I say, can I see the rest of the house? Oh, we've never been in the rest of the house. We like the door. This is the greatest foyer I ever saw. I'd be pulling out my iPhone, calling the nearest doctor. Because when you won the lottery, you lost your mind. See, God has so much more for us than just being saved. It's Jesus is the door. It's more than just the door. It's the kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. We're welcoming the whole kingdom. We're welcoming the whole place. We've got everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. Man, come and see the bedroom. Come and see the hot tub. Come and see the pool. Come and see. Look what I've got. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height of God. That surpasses knowledge. Completely immersed in Him. God, I'm facing some terrible times ahead. I've got this, I've got that. And God said, I've got it covered. I've got it taken care of. Worship me. Spend time with me. Allow me to pour into you. It's all available right now, today. It's not something that's coming. It's not an announcement of the coming times. It's not in the sweet by and by. Although it's going to be wonderful to be around the throne of God. Although it's going to be wonderful. But God wants to put the throne in you. Yes, it's wonderful we're going to be at the throne. But He wants to put His throne in you. He wants to put His kingdom in you. As a matter of fact, it's already there. All you've got to do is say, yes, Lord. Redeem the time. Ephesians 5:15 says, see that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. For the days we live in are evil. What a wonderful thought. Oh, what a wonderful thought. I, Paul, look what he says. Let's read it in closing. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width, the length, the depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, if that one prayer, I challenge you, last year we prayed that prayer for a couple months. Terry and I sat in front of, Terry, I, and Mick, and some others, sat in front of the courthouse and prayed that prayer over Fulton County. Ephesians 1:16-19, Ephesians 3:16-19. Begin to pray that prayer for those in this room, those that you love, those around you, our community, that they may be filled, Christians filled with all the fullness of God. Why do you think we limit God? What is it within us that limits God? Come on, somebody. Why do we limit God? It's a question for you to answer.
Lack of faith.
Lack of faith. Why do we limit God?
Lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge. Lack of faith, lack of knowledge. Come on, somebody. That's pretty good. That's two reasons.
Fear.
Fear. What do we fear?
That He's going to take over. And then we're not going to run the show anymore.
Well, that can't be because we're Christians. Christians don't talk like that, do we? It's Ricky.
Selfishness.
Wow. Yes.
We're comfortable.
It's not wrong to be comfortable, is it? Depends on what kind of comfort we're talking about, amen? All these things. Yes. Somebody else. Yeah.
I'm just going to step out here and say fear of asking God for something and not receiving it. Healing, which I still believe in God for, but then doubting why it didn't happen. That limits God. So my faith and trust have to be in Him and His Word, regardless of what does or has not happened yet. Because if I stay on that mindset, then the limits God and it crushes me.
What do you think about that?
Great.
Come on, somebody. What do you think about that? Is that a good description? How many are praying prayers that have not been answered yet? Does that mean they'll never be answered?
No.
it's time.
Yeah. Yes, we have to reach a place where Job reached. Job reached a place in his anguish. He said this, though he slay me, I will still. Come on. Yet will I praise Him. Are we divine?
Yes.
Why? How?
You have Christ in us. Christ in us?
Christ is in us. Christ is in us.
He's divine, wordy branches.
It's not something to brag about. We don't walk around with divine stickers on us. I'm divine. Can you imagine that? Going into Kroger with the divine plaque on your... Hi, I'm divine. You get stoned. But divinity does not mean we're braggadocious. Divinity means we serve everybody. When you know somebody is divine, they're servant. Come on, somebody. Yes, we are divine. Give an example of faith in your life. Somebody give an example of you walking by faith in your life, either in the past or right now. Yes.
I had something happen yesterday. Actually, happened the day before. My bathroom sink clogged up again. And I did not like plunging. I think I kept plunging and plunging and plunging. Just what I was getting there. It just seemed like enough work. I quit. Next day, I got to get it done. So yesterday, I put it off as long as I could. And I plunged and I plunged and plunged. It seemed like I'm like getting nowhere. And I'm praying, I was speaking, you're unclogged. In Jesus' name, you're unclogged. You know, thank the Lord for the victory. And I'm getting a little frustrated. And I thought about quitting. I tried a little bit more. I'm doing the same thing over and over and over. Seemed like getting nowhere. And then all of a sudden, I hear that beautiful noise of water. You know what I mean? It seemed like you're not getting there. And then, bang, breakthrough like those suddenly. So I got encouraged from it. I hated the job, but I got encouraged that sometimes life seems like you're not getting anywhere. I keep plunging, or say, steady plodding, wins the prize, or gets to the destiny, or something like that.
Yes, amen.
Praise Him. It worked anyway. Praise the Lord.
Someone else, yes, John.
Sometimes you pray a prayer and ask God for something, and He gives you maybe a third or a half of it. Not that He's never going to answer the whole thing, but we wonder sometimes, oh, I know I do it, you know, why didn't you just give me the whole thing while you're at it? You know, why just give me a little taste of it and then make me wait some more? You know, it's frustrating sometimes.
Amen. Yes, Ricky.
I have a problem with the alarms, so I said it knowing that I was going to get up. No, it went off. I didn't hear it. I heard Rosie when she come in, and it woke me up. So, praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Roy.
Well, sometimes we pray for stuff, but we're not ready for it. If He gives it to you too soon, you're not ready for it, and you won't.
I was on a website the other day, and I was paying a bill, and it said on the bottom, I was waiting and waiting and waiting. It was on the bottom. It says, if this page does not come up, refresh the page. I refreshed. It still didn't come up. I kept refreshing. That's another story. But it spoke to me. Refresh. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Come on. I'm always looking for that version that says, ask and keep on asking. If it doesn't happen in 5 minutes, we put time limits on God. God, I prayed. Come on, it's one day, it's 24 hours. Can you answer the prayer already? Is anybody up there listening? Why do we have trouble comprehending what God has done for us? Why is that? Yes.
Our mind's not open to sometimes to what God's doing in our lives. But God does change our lives. We all can be walking miracles if we let God work in our lives.
Amen. That was for everybody else, for you. Come on. Why do we have difficulty? That's a pretty good explanation, by the way. Why else do we have difficulty comprehending?
We're limited by experience.
Everybody hear that?
No.
We're limited by experience. Just because it hadn't happened doesn't mean it won't.
That's right. Amen.
It kind of goes along with having little faith. The more you experience, the greater your faith is going to be.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I get to be very public with things that happen to me just because of what I do, but last year I was so sore, my knees, my ankles, my feet hurt so bad that after a day like today, I go home and literally just sit or lay down all day. I couldn't walk hardly. And I just refused to go see a doctor. Someone said, you used to go see a doctor. Eventually I did for the iron, but it was even after that. I had iron or poor blood. But and I just would pray and pray, and I was sure it was God. I was sure. I asked and keep on asking, and I refreshed and refreshed and refreshed and refreshed, and pretty soon I was healed. But I've often looked back at that time and say, God, you could have done the same thing in June as you did in December. Why did you wait till December? But my prayer life grew because I took it to the Lord. Come on, somebody. You say, well, God's causing pain so you can grow closer to Him. No. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of light, not the evil stuff. But we do fight sickness, disease, curses. But He overcomes them all, amen? Yes. Sure wish there was a time stamp on that. Then I could argue with them. God, you said that would take 10 minutes. It's been 3 years. Amen. Yes?
I just wanted to thank you for this teaching. It's been amazing. And just that one scripture about my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. I don't know where I've been all these years where I missed that wicked, the word in there, because that's what I was taught all these years. And I kept thinking, how could that be? So thank you.
Yes, Danny.
I believe the day this body prayed for me, I was healed. And the manifestation of that ain't here yet.
It's coming.
The question is, if I keep asking like the judge, was my faith not here in the first place? Does that mean I lack faith when you guys prayed for me?
No.
I believe I'm healed.
Yes. Amen. We believe too. Believe with you. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you for this wonderful word today that you've shared with us, Lord. Thank you for the reminding that you've shared with us, God. Thank you for everyone that participated, and Lord, bless the words that were from you. Plant deep within our hearts that which is of the flesh to be forgotten immediately. Lord, we thank you for the engrafted word that is in each one of us. Jesus, we thank you for housing in us. We stand with Danny and believe, God, that he is healed in Jesus' name. The healings that we're believing for in this room, God, we receive them according to your promises that are yes and your promises that are amen in Christ Jesus. Lord, it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what we see with our eyes. It matters what we believe in our hearts. And God, I pray that you plant this seed deep within each of our hearts that we might know together the hope of our calling. That, Lord, this prayer that you ask us to pray, and that Paul prayed, that we may be able to comprehend your love. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week. See you on Wednesday night.